You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
Today, Chuck and I are sitting here with an incredible musician and actress, Charlotte Gainsbourg. Charlotte, welcome to the show.
Charlotte, thank you for being here today. On this double album, you combined live and studio tracks.
There are four, actually. Four of Beck and four of other artists, so eight in total, I think. I wanted it to be not only a live album because I didn't want to put all the tracks of the live. I wanted to choose some, and then I needed. It made sense if it had some images, so all the footage we had during the whole tour, I wanted to use that. And if it was only a live album, it would have been, for me, something of the past, but really far away, because it's already been more than a year. So I needed something new. And it was a nice thing to feel that it was an album in between two albums.
How was it working with Beck again?
It was wonderful to work with him again, and it was like a follow-up on what we had done. And it's always lovely to meet with someone you start to know quite well, and he knows what I have in my head. I mean, it's quite funny the way he writes, because I don't say much, but he just knows.
You also collaborated with Noah and The Well and Conor O'Brien from The Villagers.
Yeah, and also Conan Moccasin. We've met again now because we're going to do a very small concert together for Canal Plus. So it was lovely that he reinterpreted every new song. So it's very different from the concerts I've done because it's his sound. But it's interesting. I really like it.
You have a song in this record, Terrible Angels. It seems like you took a little bit more of a risk, or into a dancier direction.
With Beck, it's more, I can dare things, and I can have experiences, and he has a way of being a little experimental, which is really, that's what I like. And with him, I can do it. With other people, I want to go closer to who I am, and so softer songs and are more in my range. I had fun with Beck. The title Paradisco, we had it on the previous album. We had it while we were doing IRM, but it didn't fit with the rest. It was too different. It was kind of like a joke. So this time it was a great opportunity to be able to fit it in, because it had nowhere to fit in. The whole point was to have really different tracks and not a story behind, nothing, just the tracks like that I had fun to sing on. And Terrible Angels is, it is sort of electronic, and I asked Beck if he could write something where I would be a little tougher, because I had done the tour. It was great to have stronger songs with the public. I thought that it was really, those were either songs like the Dylan song, Just Like a Woman, to be very intimate with just a guitar, or really tough songs were the ones where I got the most pleasure. So I asked him if I could try to push my voice a little, and that's why I had fun on that one too.
Why did it take you so long to do your second record?
I took it very seriously at the start. When I did 555, it was like, it took me 20 years to go back to the music. It was very serious. I mean, in my head, very heavy, and it was like pushing a barrier. Then once I had done it, I wanted to explore something different, something new, and I went to Beck. And that was a whole adventure with him. Now I feel that I can have fun. It's lighter. I don't have to prove anything. I mean, I haven't proven anything, but it's not the point. I just, I'm different from my father because, you know, people ask me, they compare. I'm not my father, and it's very good that way. I have to use my own weaknesses, use my my own mistakes, and it's easy to say, you know, use your mistakes, but in a way it's true, and that's what the touring gave me also, is that people are not looking for something perfect when they come to see you. They want something lively, they want to see something true. I'm not a show woman, so I'm not like Madonna, who's going to do a perfect show, and if it's perfect, it's great. I'm someone where if you can find my something real, that's what I'm there for. I mean, I can only be sincere. So behind the music, I didn't have something perfect to offer. And I felt that the people who were there, they enjoyed the fact that because it was not perfect, it was true.
Charlotte, on the song Stage Whisper, were you referring to the stage fright that you had at the beginning of your career?
I was paralyzed at the beginning, but I still wanted to go. Whereas on 555, it paralyzed me to the point that I cancelled everything. I couldn't go on. And I didn't see the point. I wasn't ready. This time, yes, I was scared, but I really wanted to do it.
It appears that you are much more confident with yourself these days.
For me, it's to try not to care too much, because I find that it's much easier when, of course, when you're not tense, when you don't want to achieve something, or, you know, don't have any flaws and try to get something the best you can. That's what I reproach myself today, is to be too, in French you say, bon élève, is to be a good student. You know, I've been a good student for a long time, always, you know, doing everything that I'm told to do. It's a bit stupid to say this during an interview, but that's the way I felt. Today, it doesn't mean that I'm going to push all the barriers and do whatever I want, but it's to just gain that, to be conscious of not trying too much. Not trying to be too good and too polite and too, yeah, being comfortable with myself and just being able to be myself.
And yet, between your career and your life, how do you keep up with it all?
I don't know, really. I think it's just adding everything. My family life is the most important, so having a baby was what I was hoping for a long time, so taking the time for that is very important, and I've had some free time for the past 4 months, so it's quite nice. So I'm not that active, but then when you add up a film plus the music plus a bit of fashion here and there, plus touring if I can. Yes, it adds up, but it doesn't mean that I've done 50 films, no.
At this time in your life, what type of film roles are being offered to you?
Well, I was talking to my agent yesterday, and she really, comment on dit, démoralisée, my American agent. I was so depressed afterwards. She said, oh, you know, already we don't have a lot of parts in America for between 30 and 40, but when you turn 40, there's nothing left. So I thought, oh no. So I'll have to think about things by myself.
As an actress, how important is the American market to you?
If I hadn't had international films, I'm very, very grateful to have been offered 21 Grams and I'm Not There and Lars's film, and even Michel Gondry was French, but it was still sort of it was English speaking. So I've done a lot of English speaking film, which is not the American market, that I understood. And I don't think I fit in the American market, but to be able to go outside of France is very important for me. I love being able to do French films, but I haven't had that many great parts offered in France. I'm hoping that I'll have more or better ones, or, you know, things that I really want to do. But yeah, I'm very grateful to be able to speak English and get out.
I have to say, your screen presence, it's so natural. It doesn't even look like you're acting.
Yeah, that I always felt, it's very kind of people to say you, it seems like you don't act, that like you're, maybe, yeah, that it's for real, but, I forgot. But it just means that, elle est juste. It means that you're not fake. But that's, for me, that's the first step of being an actor. You know, that's the first thing you want to do, is of course not to be fake, but then you have to be better than that. And so I've always felt, oh, if it's just to be natural, I don't care. But I can understand that it's a compliment, and I won't spit on it, or, you know, I'm happy if people say this.
In the film Melancholia, you play the mother. How similar are you to that character?
Now I like my part. At the beginning, and when I was doing it, I didn't like my part. I thought I was so square. That's the whole thing about the part. She's so square that when the end of the world happens, she's not... Well, she can't cope with anything, then... what she had planned, what she had tried to control, and I felt in a way that she was so stupid. But it's quite nice now, it's quite nice to have a part where you feel, what a stupid woman, because she's very much like me. She's very close to me. She's close to my fears. She's close to my panics. And now I do like her weaknesses, but when I was playing them, I wanted to be heroic. I wanted to be like in Antichrist, the one who's going to kill everyone. Oh, she's the opposite. And that's why it was so interesting from Lars's point of view to ask me to do that part, because it was like playing the nurse. Willem Dafoe was the nurse in Antichrist. Now I was the nurse in Melancholia, and Kirsten was the sick one. And it was interesting that way. I mean, I also liked the le parcours, the, you know, traveling from the beginning of that confident, sort of confident woman to being completely naked at the end, and whereas Kirsten's character is the weak one at the beginning, and she becomes stronger when the end of the world ends.
What is it like being a judge for the Berlin Film Festival?
I'm so happy. I'm happy to be able to see films. I'm happy because I don't know Berlin very well, and I'm really attracted to what people say also, because I've heard about Berlin for a long time now. But it's really a place where, well, it's not a surprise, but, you know, the art is really interesting there. And I've met also during the tour, one of the musicians had lived in Berlin, and she was really always going on about how, what a perfect place it was, but also the festival. I'm just happy to be a little more mature each time. You know, I did the Deauville Film Festival, I don't know when it was, but it was, well, my son is 14, so it was maybe 16, 17 years ago. Then I did Cannes, that was 10 years ago, maybe. Now I'm going to do Berlin with much more confidence. I can, not judging films, but maybe being able to judge them in my own way. I'm not going to be a technical judge, you know, and so that's what I'm happy to be my own judge, to be what, just the way I am.
You started in entertainment so young. Was that challenging for you?
It wasn't complicated when I was going through it. Because for me, it was normal. I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm different. I didn't feel different. But then that was during my early childhood. Then when my parents got divorced, that was a little more complicated, because I guess that's when I started to do things by myself also. I did Lemon Incest with my father, and I started films when I was 12. So it helped me to maybe get my own identity and not be in the shadow of my parents.
Would you like your children to follow in your footsteps?
I hope so, because I realized how much freedom I was given so young. My parents really trusted the people I was working with and me, and I think it was a different time also, because I was able to go on to a film shoot, and they weren't worried for me, really, sincerely they weren't worried. And my father made me do Lemon Incest with him. It was a real provocation, but I mean, he wasn't a bad man at all. He was wonderful, and he loved me, and there was a lot of provocation, but a lot of sincere love that he was showing. And so all of that I understood, and I felt very protected at the same time. Now I'd be scared for my children, because it's not the same. I have the impression that the surroundings are not the same. And the time is not the same, that people are more angrier.
Charlotte, before we end this conversation, I wanted to ask you about your father's home in Paris. It's an incredible tourist destination to this day. Are you still wanting to turn it into a museum?
I tried for maybe 18 years. I tried. And then it was starting to happen, and Jean Nouvel, who's this wonderful architect, was interested, François-Henri Pinault was interested also and was trying to help me. Everything was going quite well, and then I backed off. I don't know if you can say back off. But I realized that I didn't want it to happen. At the same time, a film was being made on him. There was an exhibition being made on him. I felt that I wanted some secrecy, something that would still be intimate. You know, I'm not able to go on his grave because people are always there. So I can't be myself, you know, with facing that. His house is the only place where it's like a grave. So it's a big grave. And I keep it the way it was. I do nothing with it. But I'm handcuffed You know, it's a strange thing. Sometimes I wish a bomb would make it explode, because just to help me not move on, because I don't want anything to happen there. I don't want to sell it. Maybe one day I'll have to sell it. But for the moment, I just want to keep it as it is. But in a way, it's just not to have to deal with it.
Charlotte, this has been an amazing experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Charlotte, thank you so much for coming here today.
Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.